is my pleasure to introduce these wonderful people to my left and on your right this morning. And we are going to share today on a hot topic that has been prevalent in our history and recently has kind of come on the scene even stronger than it's been in a while. And we want to hit up this topic of racism this morning. And so who I have with me on my left here is Pastor Juan Britos, and he is a pastor here at Cross Point Church. We have Miss Faith Osborne, who also happens to be my daughter and goes to Cross Point as well, and she is a high schooler right now. And then, last but certainly not least, we have Mr. Cliff Perrin, and he is a member of our church here at Cross Point. So we're just kind of coming to you as family, to the family, and you know, to the ends of the earth, because hopefully you're sharing the stream with the ends of the earth friends that you have all over the place. And I hope today that through what we have to say and what we have to share from our hearts, that you would feel challenged and encouraged by what God wants to do in and through you. And I hope also that you feel maybe a little more educated and a little more inspired than ever before. And so I want to start just with the question just to each of them to share just in their own words, what is racism? No particular order. Go.
Well, to start off, like, racism is a heart problem and a spiritual problem. And just overall, it's evil. Like, it doesn't come from God. It's not meant to be here. Yeah.
Good.
I would say looking at me and trying to treat me different because of the color of my skin.
Well said.
That's good. I feel like it's someone that doesn't have experience walking in the same shoes that I'm walking in. Or living life or seeing life the way that I experience it myself. So basically judging a book by its cover without being there in the book.
You know? Yeah,
so
that's kind of good.
How I see it.
Come on, that's good. Racism, you know, by dictionary definition is a belief that groups of humans possess different traits corresponding to physical appearance, and based on those traits or physical appearance, you are treated differently, some superior over the other. It also can be prejudice or discrimination. See, what I have learned and what I understand is that racism isn't a white problem. It isn't a black problem, a brown problem. It isn't a color problem. It is a human problem. And there is nothing wrong with race, actually. With our beautiful differences, there is nothing wrong with that. That is to be celebrated. There is something wrong with humanity's view of those differences. And we have read of the pain in our history, and we've experienced in recent months and weeks hate crimes and violence and racism and discrimination, all those things, the heartache surrounding this problem. T.D. Jakes says, the past has taught us that violence is not the cure. The here and now has shown us our silence is the abuse. See, it is not human to stand by and allow such unbelievable actions as we've seen. And this is not even a Christian issue, I would say. This is a human issue. Yet because racism seems so grand and such a big problem, many of us, because we feel like we can't fix it, we sit back and we do nothing. It's like we're frozen into nothingness. This is a problem. TD also says, it is not the atrocities nor the wickedness of evil men that is the most appalling. It is the good men that remain silent. See, unless we let it affect us, we will not affect it. So this brings me to the next question today that I would like to ask everyone once again on the panel. Has racism affected you? And if it has, maybe you'd like to share how today.
I think it has for me. I'm pretty, I accept everyone. I love people. And I give people a chance. And I think sometimes people in the past haven't given me a chance to explain myself or to present myself so that they know who I am. You know, and I think a lot of people judge me based on how I looked.
Yep.
And I've had lots of people say demeaning things, mean things. But I chose to forgive them. But yeah, it has affected me in some different ways, you know, coming from Latin America and, you know, being called names, being made fun of. You know, it has had a little bit of effect, yeah. For sure.
Faith?
Obviously, it hasn't, no one has ever been racist towards me. But I just, especially throughout these recent months, I've just felt so empathetic and just feeling so much for everyone who it has affected. And
So what you're saying is that it hasn't affected you in that personal way, but it is affecting you as you see your friends and people that even you don't know experience it. I mean, that's definitely a way we are affected by it today.
Cliff. Well, it's just like the other day at work. I work for Quest, and me and the LabCorp guy, he's a black guy and I'm a black guy, and we was down at one of our stops, and you couldn't see our cars. All you could do is see us talking. And I seen the cops go by. And then we was talking, all of a sudden I look up, here they are in the parking lot. But once they came up there, they seen that we was in uniform and our car, they just went by. I mean, was it because just two black guys by a building? You know, that's racial profiling. And that's why a lot of these people out here marching stuff behind stuff like that. Yeah. And back to like what Faith said, and I'm glad because you see the younger generation, they're not putting up with it. They're not, you know, it's over, and people really can't say nothing no more, because if it was just black out there marching, look at them, but it's everyone now. So you don't hear much about it. It's their only thing now, they're bad, they're protesting. And, you know, thank you guys, and I'm gonna tell you, keep it up, be strong.
Come on. It's a beautiful thing when we all come together to support each other in really heartfelt support as well. There's something that's called a colorblind society. And a colorblind society is where racial classification doesn't limit a person's opportunity. It's a society that are free from differential legal or social treatment based on race or color. A colorblind society has race-neutral government policies that reject discrimination in any form in order to promote equality. This was very important to the civil rights movements in the 1950s and the 1960s. And the goal of the 1964 Civil Rights Act in the United States was to try and make all people equal under the law. The hope was that people would someday be judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. And that was the hope. Now, whether this process actually has truly resulted in a colorblind U.S. society, or whether this is the best option for us, is kind of controversial right now still. color blindness was man's attempt of inclusiveness, equality, and equal opportunity. However, I'm not sure if we've accomplished what we intended to accomplish. Do we think that color blindness has actually helped us or hurt us? So I'm going to ask Faith a question right now. I'm going to ask Faith about color blindness. In her opinion, is it good? Is it bad? Talk about it a little bit.
I'd say it's bad because when you say to someone, oh, like, I don't see color, you don't see their culture, you don't see their heritage, you don't see who they really are. And it's like, it's almost as if you're trying so hard to accept them, but it comes across that you have to not see their color to accept them. And that's not how it should be. And also, like, when you're actively making a statement, oh, I don't see color, I don't see color. Obviously, we know you see color. yeah. So it's
a good point.
Like,
that is a good point.
It's just you're not seeing their culture. You're not seeing the person.
That's good. I'm going to say a statement, and then I'm going to ask Juan what you think about this statement. The statement is this: color blindness is unity in conformity. The kingdom is unity in diversity. Talk about it. What do you think?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is in Mark 3:25, it says that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And that's what I see in our communities. We try to accentuate, erase, and then we leave everybody else out of the question. So there's no room for discussion, there's no room for love, there's no room for growth. So if we're divided, how are we to move forward with things when we're trying to make somebody else better than the other person, when God is trying to tell us, like, hey, a house divided, you know, you cannot stand. So how do we expect to stand and to fight for things that we have a right to if we can't even agree amongst ourselves to love each other? You know,
and loving each other while we see color.
Yep.
While we see color. There's so much we don't actually understand about this topic, and many of us never will till we are on the other side of heaven. Now we see in part, the Bible says, then we will see fully, even as we are fully known. And we miss a lot, and it's actually possible to be racially offensive without being a racist. So you might say, well, I'm not a racist. But if you don't acknowledge the fact that even as a non-racist that you can be racially offensive, then you could be saying and doing a lot of things that are hurting a lot of people just because you dismissed that there's a difference there. And an example of that is, I don't see color. That's offensive, but you may not be a racist because you're saying it. You're trying to be helpful, but really you're being hurtful. It's important that we hear what we're saying today, that we hear, even if it's different from what we've always learned or known, because there's so much we don't know. And the problem is, we don't know what we don't know. Right? We don't know what we don't know. So we think we know it all the time. And then we learn a new thing, and then we realize, I didn't know that. And there's so much I actually don't know. So, and along those lines, Cliff, could you tell us something we don't know this morning? My question for you is, what are we missing in society? What is it that we're not seeing?
I would say accept a person as they are. Like I say, not the color of their skin. Just treat me like you would want to be treated.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
You know, that's how I look at it. And society like you hear, I have a lot of black friends. Why they got to be black? Why they can't just be your friend?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just, it's just, it's hard. Like, my daughter, she's on a board at in La Mesa.
Yeah.
And I remember my brother-in-law texted her and said, and it's true, when I was in high school, we wasn't welcome out here in La Mesa. You don't get caught in the Santee or Lakeside back in those days. So that's society. That, you know, it's better now. I hope it get better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. See, I love what you said there, your heart coming through. You're not like asking, we want this, we want that. You're like, just see me.
Yeah, it's me.
Just as me.
Yeah.
Just treat me the way you want to be treated.
Yep.
Gosh, I've heard that somewhere before, right? In the Bible.
Yeah.
It's so important that we move past our past and our present and into the future, unity in our diversity. It's so important to see color, but to welcome you for you and you and you and me.
Can I just add one thing?
Yeah.
I think that, like, in my experience, like experiencing racism and people saying things to me, one of the things that's worked for me is that when you get to the point that you can forgive the person that did something against you, to be able to move on. Because if you're still in that, oh man, I am this, and you put yourself in that box and that's all you live, and you think that people think of you like that, it's not everybody that thinks like that.
It's good. Yes.
You know, it's not everybody. Yeah. Some people might, and that's like few and far between. And I've been to upstate New York where, you know, mm-hmm. that place is very judgmental. I mean, my wife and I walked through a park and we were being stared at. But you know what? I just like, you know what? They just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just don't know. And as a Latino, like, I had to get to the point that I was like, you know what? I forgive that person.
Yeah.
Or I forgive that person because they just don't know. They don't know me. They don't know my heart. They don't know that I could be their best friend, that I could be like their brother,
yeah.
that I could be there for them if they needed something. Like, if you ever experience racism and you're still stuck in that spot, forgive that person so that you can free yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's the ultimate goal. If you can free yourself, then God will work on the hearts of the people, not just your heart.
Oh, that's so good. That's good.
And you know what? It still bothered me in a way, like when you used to, now it's on the computer to fill out an application. But when you used to fill out an application and write, they used to ask you your nationality.
Yeah.
And they always had other, and I always used to put other.
Me too.
You figure out who I am.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because what does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Wow. That's good. That's good. Walk in forgiveness. Forgive them before they even do anything against you. For their, you know, their judgmental attitudes, or you know, even as Faith was saying, she hasn't experienced racism on that personal level, but there's an element where she needs to walk in forgiveness because she carries a heart so much for people who has, that it would be easy for her to pick up an offense.
Because I believe right now on her heart, she don't think about racism. She just think about her. Who are you?
People. Yeah, come on. Before I ask the final question today, I believe that these three people on the panel this morning were sent here by God, and I believe it was a divine assignment. And God really highlighted these three individuals to me some time ago. So when I asked all three of them and they all agreed, I was very pleased that it worked out so well. And I have learned recently that this time and this topic of racism is not a time to highlight a race or a color to speak. And I've learned this by but people who know way more than what I know. But it's a time for white and black and brown, for all the colors to speak. This is why a white 15-year-old girl is sitting up here right now. Because this is a time for her to speak, and Cliff to speak, and Juan to speak, and me to speak, for us all to speak, because it affects us all, because we care. Because we care. It doesn't affect me the way it may affect some of you, but it affects me because it affects you. So here we are now, and we can do something. This is also not the time that I have learned to apologize for all the things that people have done in the past. That isn't helpful. You weren't there, and I wasn't there. But I'm here now, and you're here now, and we can do something now. So here is the final question for each of you to answer. What can I do? For someone out there that's listening today and watching, if they're like, what's one thing? Because all the things seem so overwhelming that I don't know what to do. But if there is one thing that you could say, well, do this, what would you say? We'll start with one.
Start with me. I would say, you know, do stuff because you see a human being and you see somebody that needs help. Mm. Not because they don't have the same privilege that you do, or because they're poor, or because they're this, or because they're that, just because they're human. And I just think back of like when Jesus said, you know, just go and feed my people. Like, just feed my people. Like, we're all his people. Like, so if you see somebody and there's an injustice, treat them as people.
Yeah.
And just love them where they're at, because that's what we need. Like, that's what we all need. We all need to know that somebody loves us, that somebody cares about us, and it's not about what we look like or, you know, what our culture is. Like, we're stronger because we have different cultures. We're stronger because we have different opinions. And if we can come to the point that we can, you know, get past that, past the look, you know, if we can get past of how I look and what society says that my race has done, you know, going on every race, you know, whether it's brown, black, white, you know, based on what we think that race is, if we can get past that and just look at the person and look at the heart and just treat them like human beings and just be like, how can I just love on you? And that's it.
Beautiful. Cliff?
He said it all. But that's true. Just love the person as they are, you know, because some people need help. And the ones that need help, that's the one you should want to go help and love on. Because like you said, everybody is on different levels. Mm-hmm. And just love and treat somebody the way you want to be treated. Because you never know, that could be you.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know? Yeah.
Faith.
I would just say, like, just to help educate yourself and to help educate the people around you, just, like, do something. Pray. Buy a book off of Amazon. Like, do, like, anything. Just research the things you're not sure of before you speak about it. And just overall, just like pray big prayers, pray for the end of racism. Like, it's not too big for God.
Wow, it's good.
And can I say something?
Yeah.
You too, Pastor Craig, and you, I thank you because the way she is, that's because of you guys. And that's how we raise our daughters. Sitting here, her sitting here, that's you guys. And you guys did a good job for her sitting up here and saying the things that she's saying. To be so young.
Yeah. Well, we're super proud of Faith and her heart.
Yeah.
Against this problem in our society. And it bubbles from the inside out. The injustice that it is, And thank you for saying that. Pastor Miles McPherson, you probably know him from the Rock Church. He says this, he says, we are 97% the same, yet we focus on the differences.
Yeah.
See, the differences shouldn't segregate. The differences should actually integrate. Because our unity is in our diversity. And I'm going to end with this morning, a couple verses. Romans 12, 9, which we've really talked about a lot this morning already. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. And Romans 12, 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, we sit today side by side, and thank you, Cliff, and thank you, Faith, and thank you, Juan, for being here. But we sit side by side and speak, not because it's the right thing to do or to showcase this is a good view for our live session this morning, but because truly we are 100% better together than we could ever be apart. So thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for listening this morning. God bless you. We love you, Crosspoint family, and those who are listening from around the globe. Amen.